I do pray you have patience with me, and I pray my voice holds out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today, and just bless this time together, and bless my voice, and may I speak what you want me to say in a way that would be pleasing to you. And Father, be with the hearers, that they hear what you want them to hear. Most of all, Father, help us respond to your word in a way that would bring you honor. When we just ask this in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at our society today, we see a decline in the traditional family. More and more children are being raised in single-parent homes. David Blankenhorn, the author of Fatherless in America, states in his statistics that 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 85% of children that exhibit behavioral disorders also come from fatherless homes. Daughters of single mothers are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers, 111% more likely to have children as teenagers, and 164% more likely to have children out of wedlock. I'd like to share some examples of children raised in dysfunctional families that I've come across. Now, I want you to understand that these are not people in this congregation, although patterns have a tendency to repeat themselves, and so you may think that that is part of their story, but I assure you they are not part of this congregation. One woman wrote, "My dad was in and out of my life, mostly out. When he did show up, he was always drunk and obnoxious. I felt that he left Mom and me to the wolves. Mom is very critical and controlling and has yelled at me her whole life. Her boyfriend tried to make a pass at me many times. At first, she would not believe me, but then later told me that it was my fault. Everyone that I loved ended up leaving or dying, leaving me an empty hole in my heart. I used men and chose to have a relationship with men that I knew would not work out. I would hurt them first so that they wouldn't hurt me. I've tried everything to make the pain go away. I'm an addict, and I'm looking for someone to fix me." A man wrote, "My dad was mentally and physically abusive alcoholic. He worked all the time. The only time I saw him, I was in trouble. I think he enjoyed beating and punishing me." Both of these stories started out with kind of a common theme, and the parents were living a self-centered and selfish life, a life followed by sin. And sometimes children get trapped up, not in their own sin, but in the sins of their parents. But then later repeat those same patterns in their own life. That's the bad news. The good news is there's another force at work in the world. It's called the love of God. The Holy Spirit is actively working together to bring families as a model of the kind of family that we can have. One based on healing, striving to establish sound, healthy, and functional relationships. Relationships that will endure during difficult times, because life is not without struggle. Jesus came to model to us what relationship is all about. He came to leave an example to the world. Aren't we glad that we have a God who allows us to join his story and gives us the kind of father that we need? That's a question. Let me state that again. Aren't we thankful that we have a God who allowed us to join his story and give us the kind of father that we need? Amen? In Psalm 68, it says, the first part we use is a call to worship. The second part says, "His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. The father to the fatherless, the defender of widows." It doesn't matter if I came from a family that didn't have a father that was there. It didn't matter whether my father was good or not. God can become my father. A defender of the defenseless. James tells us that he is a God of the widows and orphans, because children sometimes are caught in the middle. And God comes alongside of us and nurtures us to health, and we allow him to be our father. It says he places the lonely in families, and he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. You know, in working with people in recovery, the number one cause of relapse, I think, is loneliness. For men, I would say the number one cause is women. And for women, I'd say the number one cause is men. Because we have this lonely hole in our heart that we're trying to fill up. And God comes and does that for us. God wants to be our all in all. And he places us in a larger community. He places us in his church, his family, a place where we can nurture and love one another, and where we can mentor each other in the grace and mercy and love of God. It's the kind of relationship that we need. And in that, God has the power to remove that pain. He places the lonely in families. When we become one in Christ, he adds us to his church, his family. And then we have Christ as a model for our life. When Kathy and I became Christians, we were new to the town we lived in, hadn't been there very long, and had been married for about 5 years. And we had no family and only knew one couple in that town that we moved to. And when we became Christians, we separated with them and no longer had that. And so the church became our family. It's in that we were able to experience the unconditional love that God had for us. And Kathy's parents lived about 4 hours away. We didn't have contact with my family. And the church became our family. As we started to raise children, our children had grandparents in the congregation. And they didn't understand that they were adopted, in a sense, in that way. Because at one time, when Stephen was real little, Wayne and Lois Harrington kept them a lot. And it was Grandpa Wayne to Stephen. And Grandpa Wayne was having a problem with his washing machine, and he called the electrician in to work on it. And Stephen was hanging all over Grandpa Wayne, and the repairman asked him, "Is this your grandson?" And he said, no, he's not really my grandson." And Stephen looked at him and said, "You are too, my grandpa." You see, we have family, and we no longer have that empty hole when God can bring us in there. I see that taking place here at Southside. When we embrace those that come into our family and we mentor them and we become, in a sense, parents to them, helping them see the love of God and nurturing them in Christ, we become what he wants us to be. We have a part in helping set the prisoners free. Free from loneliness, a place where they can belong. And he makes the rebellious live in the sun-scorched, dried-up land. I am so thankful that I no longer have to live a life of rebellion in the sun-scorched land. I don't know about you, but that sun-scorched land makes you thirsty. Your lips get pierced. And you want to drink of the water. We can drink of the living water. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, talks about us being a chosen people. Chosen, adopted. I like that word because it has significance to me. You know, when we're born into a family, excuse me, when we're born into a family, you go to the hospital, And the nurse and the doctor said, this is your baby. This is the one you will be taking home. And you can look at that baby and you can say, oh my. No, you don't say that. You say, isn't he or she lovely? And you take them home. But in this, we are chosen by God. You don't just get what you get. God chooses us. He makes us feel special. He chooses us when we choose Him. He knows our imperfections. He knows our faults. He knows we're going to mess up. But He chooses us anyway. He wants to come alongside of us and show us His love. It says we're God's very own possession. We no longer belong to self. We become His. We must be totally given to His will. It says that before we had no identity as people, and now we are the people of God. We have a new identity. We're no longer identified with our past, with our failures. We're not what we did. We are new now in Christ. It's not what we did that defines us. It's who we are in Christ that now defines us. We're His people. And He tells us then a warning. He tells us to be careful to live properly among unbelieving neighbors. The result is that we can give honor to God. I don't know if you noticed the sign coming in. It says, know God, K-N-O-W, know peace, K-N-O-W, peace. And then it said, know God, N-O, no peace, N-O, peace. And I think that is so true. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29 says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all of you have been united with Christ in baptism, have put on the character of Christ like putting on new clothes. There are no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you're the true children of Abraham and heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Notice here, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God, but by faith, we're united in Christ in baptism. We've been given a new character, the character of Christ. We put off our old nature like dirty old clothes. They stink. And we must put that aside and put on the characteristics, the character of Christ. We must put on His life, surrender our will and life to the care of God. And now we are children of God, children of Abraham, and heirs of every promise given to Abraham, every promise in the Bible is now given to us. Make no mistake, God doesn't say that you are a mistake or that He wishes you were never born, but He welcomes everyone that will surrender their life and be born into the family of God. He doesn't care where you've been. He cares where you want to go. And I want to show it's important that we learn to imitate God. I want to show you a picture of Stephen. He's imitating his dad. I had been doing some remodeling, and he got up a little bit earlier than I did, and he started without me. But we as children of God need to imitate God, and we love Him because He first loved us. Let's say that. We love Him because He first loved us. And getting to know His nature, getting to study our Bible, getting to have God in us, then changes us. I want to look back at the two stories from the introduction. You know, a lot of times I have a tendency to tell a story and then not finish it. So I want to tell you the finish to these two stories. The story of the woman, a story of pain and emptiness stuck in the cycle of addiction. She decided to let Christ fix her by rewriting her story. She set aside her addictions, and now she's sharing the story of hope with others who have similar struggles. And she is now an addiction counselor, striving to become all that she can be for God. What a glorious story. The man that I talked about in the introduction struggled with substance abuse and neglected his children. He ended up in prison. And now he writes, "The Lord has shown me how to use my pain for good. There was nothing that I would change about my past because I would not have known Christ the way I do now. I am happy and thankful to be here in prison. I will be able to be a better husband. I will be able to be the best Christian dad that I can be." The stories have happy endings. That's what God can do for us and our friends. In the book Outflow, the authors have a premise of the book saying, imagine your life as a fountain. And the Holy Spirit is the source. When we become one with Christ, He puts the Holy Spirit in us. As we learn the character of God, we activate the Holy Spirit and give Him the ability to flow out of us. The Bible asks us to be filled with the Spirit, and as we do that, it flows out and it goes into that first tier. The first tier is self. As that fills up our life with blessings, with love, with the grace and mercy of God, then we fill that up. It spills out to the next level, to our family and friends. As that level fills up, it continues to spread out in the community, into the world. We are to have an effect on the world as God comes into our life and He becomes our Father and He nurtures us with His love. His love flows from that. As we go into a store, a stranger will ask me many times, "How are you doing?" And I choose to ask, as many of you have heard me say, I'll say, "I'm richly blessed." Sometimes it takes them off guard. And I love to watch them when they do that, because sometimes I'll get a positive reaction and sometimes I'll get a negative reaction. But I have chosen to walk in the blessings of Christ. And I chose to have that flow out of me everywhere I go. On spring break this year, I went into the kitchen in our pantry. And I'm looking for her. Melissa Woodle, where are you? There she is. She was working in the kitchen. And I went up to her and I said, "Melissa, how are you doing today?" And she shot out at me, "I'm richly blessed." With that smile she has, I'm going to tell you, that did something to me. That didn't make my day. That didn't make my hour. That made my week. Matter of fact, I'm still thinking about that. Melissa, thank you for sharing that, because God flows out of our life. We have the ability to touch other people's lives, the people that are hurting in life. They can see something different in us. We glow with God's love, and it needs to be genuine. We need to do acts of deeds of kindness and words of kindness. It makes such a difference in people's lives to know that God loves them. In Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger or exasperate your children. What it means here is, these are some characteristics that we need to have. As members here at Southside, we are shining our light into the community. We are representing our Heavenly Father. And we need to have these characteristics. When people come in and we mentor them, we need to understand in our families and in our church, we need to never break promises. Our word is our word. And we can be trusted, that God can be trusted. People coming from brokenness have a real hard time trusting people because everyone in their life has betrayed them. or many in their life have betrayed them. And it's hard to trust. They need to be able to see within us something that they can hold on to. We need to have acceptance and patience, not demanding them to grow and to rapidly be where they need to be. You know, as a child learns to walk, you don't yell at the child because they fall down. You encourage them to get up. And that's what we do when we mentor people and work with our children. We want to encourage them to be all they can be, giving them room for growth, not to smother them, but understand that one of the greatest powers they have in their life is the power of choice. And that if they make good choices, they will learn to walk. God looks at our progress and not our perfection. And we need to do the same. It's not how perfect anyone is. It's whether they're progressing. God doesn't look at our perfection. He looks at our progress, treating everyone the same. There's no preference. You know, I like that here as well. God doesn't care whether you're rich or whether you're poor. He doesn't care whether you have a good education or whether you don't have an education. He doesn't care what race you are. He doesn't care what nation you're from. He doesn't care whether you're short or tall. He loves you just as much as he loves anyone else. And I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that that love is not exclusive to us. We have to share that with other people as well. He's always present, and he's concerned with our welfare. And he caringly corrects with consistency. I think that's an important part. An application. Let's just look at the application. I'm going to try to wrap this up fairly closely. We need to see the world through the eyes of God. When we view ourselves, when we view others, we don't look at our faults, we don't look at our failures, but we look at what God sees in us. And he sees a potential. He's given each of us a plan and a purpose for life. And that's what he sees. We need to allow the love of God to fill our souls. We need to know God deeper. We need to get into his word so his word can flow out of us. We need to bring honor to our family name, Christian. That when we live out this story of faith, our neighbors will see that there's something different about us and want that as well. We need to live in the blessings of today. We cannot change the past, but we can worry about tomorrow and we can get stuck in that, but we need to understand to live in the blessings of today. At Southside, we need to be a family that is an extension of our Heavenly Father. And showing that love into the community. If you're here today and you're tired of the sun-scorched land and living a life of rebellion, God calls you. And he wants to come alongside you and give you his spirit. Or maybe you're like the prodigal son. You have gone out into that faraway country. And you need to go home. You need to come home. God doesn't go after us, but he waits patiently for us to get enough of ourselves and to come back to him. If you're in that position this morning, I want you to consider coming forward and making that in a public way so that we can address that need. I want to finish with the Psalms 91, verses 2 through 4. I'm going to change up the wording a little bit in this. I'm going to make it personal. And I want you to see yourself in this verse. It says, "This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue me from every trap and protect me from every deadly disease." He will cover me with his feathers. He will shelter me in his wings. His faithful promises are my armor and my protection. Living out our faith and becoming like our Heavenly Father, we can be a great father. We can be a great mother, a great brother, a great sister, a mentor in Christ's love. I want to say that I really appreciate the mentoring that I have seen within this congregation, because it does feel like a place where the lonely can come. If you're here this morning and you need a place to belong, and you've never been baptized into Christ, we ask that you would consider doing that this morning and become a child of God through faith. If you have any kind of need, the elders are going to be scattered around the edge of the auditorium, and they will pray with you over anything that you may want prayers over. If you have any need, would you come as together we stand and sing a song of encouragement?